Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Never been a sucker or a name you can trust that.
See me
in the club
shaking,
I'ma bust that.
Welcome to Shasta Unmasked. This is Jessica and my co-host, Shay.
Hi, guys.
And tonight we have with us the incredibly talented Maxwell Keebler.
Kleiber.
Keebler. Sorry, Max.
Max Keebler. He's a little elf.
Sorry, man.
No worries at all. Are you kidding me?
Maxwell Kleiber to uncover the story behind the Ravelin Bog. From fragile friendships to satirical suspense, his journey is as gripping as his films. We are live tonight at the KCNR station, downtown Reading, at 96.5 FM. And our phone lines will be open, so you can call and talk to Maxwell at 530-605-4566 or 67. So, Maxwell, welcome.
No, thank you so much for having me. This is super exciting. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. Why don't you just start us off by telling us a little bit about who you are and your background?
Yeah, so I am from Redding, California, born and raised. I went to, I grew up going to, like, Country Christian, and then went to Pacheco, went to Anderson High School. My parents met down south in L.A. before moving up north to take work. And that's where we've been ever since. My parents still live there. A lot of my friends that I grew up with still live there. But my dad taught at Anderson Union High School for about 35 years, and my mom was a therapist at Simpson University for quite a while before moving into her own private practice. Grew up there, was doing the thing. I thought I was going to be a medical professional for the longest time. I was taking prereqs for potentially being a nurse or a doctor. I was interning at my uncle's physical therapy place, all the good stuff. And I had this undying, bridled love and passion for film the whole time. And, you know, that wasn't something that really anyone that I knew in my family or local community were doing. But you just kind of, I just kind of took the leap of faith with a local friend of mine who I still work with to this day. And we just said, you know, screw it, let's start making stuff. And that's what we did. And then I went down south to school in 2016 to study communication studies. And while I was doing that, I was sneaking off and doing my own side projects off to the side, building up a little resume and just learning about film and filmmaking, and finished school and have stayed down here ever since, just working in and around the industry, whether it's my own personal projects or commercials, all these things. And then now, speaking to you guys today, right off the tail end of the Ravelin Bog, my first ever feature film as a writer and director. I've been a part of feature films in other positions, but this is my debut, I should say, as a writer and director. So super exciting stuff. But yes.
So
yeah, absolutely.
Give us a little synopsis of your film. What's it about?
Yeah, so the film is about, I guess it's so funny, the plain, like, log line for the thing is, it was supposed to be a group of six friends that were going to go up to this cabin, and three of them weren't able to make it, so we're following three of the friends specifically, Lauren, Chris, and Phil. And Lauren is the mediator. Lauren is the tie between these two men. One of them's her, like, oldest friend that she's grown up with, known since practically birth. And then the other one is a more recent friend from kind of college era that is joining, that is still a really close friend of hers. And they go up to this cabin together, and they, you know, drink and try to have fun. But each day gets progressively worse and scarier and darker as the real intentions of the group come out, and, you know, ego gets in the way, and pride gets in the way, and toxic masculinity gets in the way, and it threatens to ruin what was supposed to be a good weekend amongst friends. So yeah, that's kind of like the actual story beat, log line and, you know, what it's about and stuff like that. So we've been calling it a horror comedy. It's a bit of a psychological horror comedy, a cringe horror film, if you will. it's
like
very
a psychological thriller.
Yeah, it's very much playing, we're very much leaning into the fact of how scary and tense and cringe and horrifying the tension can feel. I'm not sure, you know, I'm sure you guys have been in situations where tensions get high with the people that you're around or that you're with, and there's that level of like fear in the awkwardness and in the tension where it's like, it's almost like when you go to your friend's house as a kid and the parent starts yelling at your friend and you're just like in the room with them and you're like, I don't know how to feel right now. Yeah. That's very much that kind of horror that we're playing with, is like, we want you to feel present in this kind of tension that these friends are having with each other. And the threat of violence is always around with these boys. So yeah, I guess that's the best way to describe it, is yeah, like a psychological horror, but it's also absurd and very funny and very satirical of the behavior of men specifically. So
you mentioned toxic masculinity. Is that where you play on the funny parts of?
Oh yeah, the absurd things
that men do to get a woman's attention.
Yes, very much. Or even just to one up each other too. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the way that I'll prove to you that I'm better than you, or I'm more significant than you, or I make more money than you, or I could beat you up if I needed to. Like, just the little games that men play with each other, whether it's through body language or even actual vernacular about, this is how I'm better than you. It's very much a playground for, comedy, I think. I think it's hilarious what these men do in the film exactly.
Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's not.
Yes. And more oftentimes not. Yeah.
So how did you find your cast, your crew? Everybody that's in the project with you.
Oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, so funny enough, I went to school with most of the people that were on our set, which was fantastic. We actually had a good amount of people that I met just through my time at school. But how the project started was in, I think it was 2020 or 2021, I had a mutual friend who went to school with me who had just came off directing her first feature film. And we were just having coffee and we were hanging out, and she's like, I really want to get back into directing. Let's just do something small. Like, let's figure this out. And I said, oh, I've had an idea for a collection of short films that multiple people can do together, and you utilize the same actors and you go utilize the same location and you do three separate short films all in the same, you know, time frame, same page count, same theme words, all these things. She's like, that's a good idea. So we grabbed like maybe 9 of our friends and a couple of actors, and we all went to Idlewild together and shot 3 short films in 5 days. And The Ratlin Bog was one of those short films. And I utilized my buddy Andy, who is the DP, the director of photography, who helps with lighting and camera. He was on that set, and the original actors were in the short film, who are now reprising their role in the feature film. And one of them I hadn't even known personally. He just showed up on the day and was like, I want to be a part of this. And we had talked a little bit and he was fantastic. And I was like, I'm very much casting you again in the feature film if that happens. So yeah, it was this crazy serendipitous COVID project, short film version. And the short film went around to a few festivals and did its thing. And, you know, 2 years later, we're on set shooting the feature film version of it, and we brought a lot of the original people back, specifically the original cast back. And then everyone else was friends of friends, you know, people who wanted to be a part of this thing, who we reached out to and were able to make it work for, you know, the rate, the schedule, all the different things. So yeah, it was just everyone knows everyone, and your team kind of reaching out and calling upon, you know, the local friends and community of people who want to join this thing. But no, a lot of the, I guess to summarized, yeah, a lot of the people who were part of this, I had went to school with, so we'd already had, like, you know, a lasting friendship as well as a lasting collaboration on previous projects. So right. It was kind of a full circle moment.
So are you aware that another Anderson alum got an award, an Academy Award for his film, Michael Govier? Were you aware?
Yes, yeah. My dad was his football coach for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm really, like, it's a moment like that that's really kind of, it's hard to even put into words, right? Which is, like, the beautiful thing of, like, when you grow up in a town and you're like, oh, I don't know, you know, where's the North Star? Like, mm-hmm. you know, so I have so many friends who I'm now friends with down here, who grew up in LA, and they're friends of people who've been in and around the industry. But when you grow up in Northern California, the industry feels so far away. Mm-hmm. And so when you hear these kind of wonderful stories of Michael winning this Academy, it kind of gives you hope and inspiration where it's like, oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like,
you can do it too. Yeah.
You can do it too. It can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I really, small little town. And it was really cool to see him win. And to, you know, I think I was with my parents when he won, and my dad was like, I know him.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, that's what the world.
Yeah. He was a classmate of mine, which tells you how old
wonderful.
I am. Yeah.
Well, we do need to go to break, you guys, so let's take a break real quick, and when we get back, we will continue learning more about your film and your experiences in filmmaking. We'll be right back.
The long and winding road that leads to your door will never disappear.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
We're back at Shasta Unmasked, KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. If you would like to talk to Max Kleiber about his new film, you can call in at 605-4567 or 4566. Max, are you back with us?
I am, yes. Hello.
Hey, hi.
So we were interested in who your target audience is for your film, and how do you connect with them?
Mm, that's... That is a fantastic question, because that is the kind of number one dilemma that I think is, I mean, I don't mean to rant about the state of the industry, but that is one of the hardest things that a lot of studios and what other, whatever have you, are having, is how do we get this in front of who, and where are those eyes? So if it's Gen Z and younger generations, well, great. You're going to have to market something to their phone. And then you're going to have to convince that person via their phone, whether they see it on TikTok or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is, go see this in a theater, and then hope that it gets a good enough deal to go see it on streaming, that it reaches a good enough platform for where that is.
Yeah, like I know when you're scrolling on Facebook Reels, for example, I always see these really mm-hmm. good reels of films that are like indie films or something, and you have to go find it over here. But they give you this climax point where it's like, you must go find it and watch it, because you have to know what happens.
Yeah, and good luck finding it.
Yeah,
too,
and good luck finding it. You're, it's like, where is this ghost film?
Yeah, no, truly. And I think that's a really kind of big disconnect that's happening in the industry right now. And I think the number one people to kind of change that, or who are finding interesting ways to do so, are these kind of bootstrap independent filmmakers, where it's like, okay, well, I don't have the resources to compete with Warner Brothers or A24 or, you know, Paramount or whatever have you. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to have to, like, I'm competing with them on their budget level, but they're able to just kind of mass send this out to the world, whether it's on televisions, TikToks, previews before other movies, like all these things. So how do I get my name out, and how do I get this thing out? And so for the target audience, I think, like, you know, I think people specifically in, you know, high school to, like, I mean, I even think, you know, even dipping into like the 30s and 40s, like, I think, you know, the main characters of this film are roughly in their late 20s, early 30s, mid 20s type of age bracket. And I think there's such a call to the youth in this film, in regards to, I think the experiences of this film are really catered to kind of like this, like, young adult era, where you're kind of like, I know for me, speaking from personal experience, like, a lot of the things that I put into this film are stuff that I experienced and bore witness to in middle school, high school, and college specifically, in regards to my friend groups and what we were doing and what I was seeing my male counterparts doing. And I think that this film is really kind of a call to action to that age bracket of, like, hey guys, let's kind of catch ourselves before we get into this place. Because then when you fast forward and you look at it years later, these kind of undealt with behaviors and mannerisms in this kind of young adult era of toxic behavior and always having to be alpha and this kind of, like, masculine, like, I have to be the best and the man. Look at how it looks like, you know, when you fast forward in time, and then you go on this political rant of, like, yeah, look at the leadership in charge and what they're doing and the peacocking that they're doing, you know, 30, 40, 50 years down the road. That's what happens if you don't fix it now. Gosh. You know, so I think this is much more catered to the youth, but hopefully, you know, I was telling, you know, my parents got to be a huge part of this film. And I think they got to not only read the script, of course, but they got to be on set while some of these scenes were happening. And they were like, yep, you know, we still, as full-grown adults, find ways to do this, you know, even when it's like our older adult male friends, like, you know.
Sometimes worse. Sometimes it's worse with age.
Yeah.
Sometimes
then more
find ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, because more money gets involved, then maybe your kids are involved and use them as fodder for the ego and stuff like that. Yeah. So, no, absolutely. But, yeah, I guess that might be my best way of summarizing, you know, target audience. Because that was a really hard a conversation I've had with, like, my producers and stuff, because that question, of course, arises, because then comes the next stage, which is, okay, that's your target audience. How do you get to them?
Yeah,
you
know, so, and what kind of impact do you want your film to have on them? Like, are you teaching a lesson? Are you trying to just entertain? Like, what, you know?
I think good films hopefully can do both. Mm-hmm. I think if you're one or the other, then you're not offering the full, you know, I guess, palette or tapestry of what film should do is, you know, I think it was Roger Ebert or Scorsese or someone who said, you know, films and movies and cinema are the empathy machine. And I think that naturally draws out this idea of teaching and or, you know, I think Ethan Hawke had a great quote about, like, films are just supposed to ring a bell. You know, we're not supposed to answer the question. We're supposed to ask the question right. So that the people who watch it can kind of
do their own critical thinking. Yeah,
absolutely. So I think that's the main thing I want is this film is funny. This film has absurd moments. It's supposed to be entertaining and there's moments of lightheartedness, but the film very much becomes this very dark subject material. And it's really kind of, I really want it to weigh with people that people have to wrestle with that thing that they're watching. And so, yeah, I really hope that it can become both these things. I definitely don't want to be preachy. I kind of want to, you know, invite people to kind of critically think about the events that happen in the movie so that they can toy around with, you know, one of my actors was doing such a good, like, he was so dedicated to making sure that, you know, even though the men specifically in this film are mainly at fault for the actions and the events that ensue throughout the film, he wanted to make sure that we weren't just doing like a men suck movie. Mm-hmm. He was like, how do we humanistically like create these men that, so therefore the tragedy of what happens is much more prominent because it's like you feel betrayed by these men because they were set up as being these kind of sweet, kind-hearted, you know, good people. And then by the end of it, they're really not. And how do we make that make sense and stuff like that? So, yeah, I hope all of that comes across because that's something that we were very much talking about.
I have a question.
These last couple of years. Yeah,
so
yeah, absolutely.
The film has been made. What is the process now? What happens?
Yeah. Yeah, so the process now is what is considered post-production. So post-production is editing the film. So, of course, taking all the footage that we have and cutting it together to make something. And then you take, you know, that film and then you do different things such as, like, you know, the soundscape. You work with sound designers and dialogue editors to make sure that the sound is the best and that you're making creative choices in how the film feels over the speakers in a theater and things like that. You color the film, so you grab you grab colorists and hopefully a post house, and you fine tune the way that the film is going to look. Then you work with a composer on the music, and you create a tone through the music, through a composer. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, once you have all of those things together and you get the final cut of the film, then becomes the next battlefield, so to speak, which is the distribution and the marketing of the film, which is, okay, great, we have the finished product, we like this finished product, now what? And the name of the game usually is around a festival, like festival strategy, which is sending this film to different various festivals across the U.S. and international, and you hope that that film can get picked up by a distribution person who can, a distribution company, I should say, so that they can send the film around to different theaters or find a deal for streaming or things like that. So, but the next immediate phase, I should say, for this film is finalizing the final cut, which is the music. The assembly cut, which is what the film in chronological order looks like, and of course, like color and sound and stuff like that. So that's the phase that we're in now.
When it's all done, who like kind of reviews it to give you criticism before it goes out to the public?
That's a great question. Yeah, that's sometimes you could just do no one and you can send it in yourself. But for me, I really enjoy the feedback from my peers. So that's exactly who it is. It's peers. I mean, it could be, you know, there's sometimes where it can be a narrow target where it's like, okay, I have these 20 trusted people that I can, you know, who work in or out of the industry that I trust their opinion on. Let me send it to them. And they could be other directors or they could be my parents or just a normal moviegoer. Or you can set up kind of like screening Q&As type of surveys.
Yeah.
I had a friend who recently released a short film and I got to go to his screening for it. And I realized when we were there that the screening was actually for survey. So it was like, hey, this is what I think the final film is going to be, but like, take the survey after it's over, and I'd love to hear your feedback so that I can go back and potentially cut new things together or cut out things that maybe didn't work for the audience.
That's kind of new with new technology, right? Like, that's not anything that old producers would have done back in the day, get instant kind of survey feedback. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Cool. Okay, well, it's time for a break again. Yeah. Looks like we're ready for a break.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the timeline and what you anticipate that being for it to possibly be released.
When we get to watch it, yeah.
Yeah,
so we'll be back. No, absolutely.
I'm singing, this will be the day that I die. This will be the day that I die. Help the skelter in the summer swelter. The birds flew off with the fallout shelter. 8 miles high and falling fast.
At Ashley, it's not just.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. from my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
FM at the KCNR studio downtown. And we are back with Maxwell.
Yes.
Hello. How are you there?
It's so awkward when our guest is not in the studio.
Yeah, you can't see your face. So it's like, hello, are you there? But if you'd like to call in and ask Maxwell any questions, you can call at 530-605-4566 or 67. Yeah, and so my next question was about the timeline. So what do you anticipate? I know there's not going to be a rock-solid one yet, but what is your goal, your timeline for getting it out there?
Yeah, the dream goal would be about this time next year. So the original schedule was going to be, we were supposed to shoot the film in May of this year and have it done and ready to go out by like now so that we can start hitting the festival circuit now. And I'm so thankful we didn't. It gave us more time to prep. It gave us more time to find more money, all these things. But what it did give us too was a longer post-production progress, which is really wonderful. So from now until around mid-summer, we're going to be editing and doing all those post-production things that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
So because around this time is usually when most of the festivals, at least the ones that we're looking into, start to open. And we want to be hitting the festival circuit kind of from like September, October until going into the next year, January, February, March. So that is around the time that we'll also be doing like a, you know, I'm really trying to, and I've been talking to with the Shasta Film Commission of doing like a Reading premiere and stuff like that. And I really wanted it to be at Valley 11 Cinemas because that's where I used to work in Anderson. They shut down.
So I know. You made me think of a question. You were talking about having more time to gather money. Where do your resources come from?
That was going to be my question. How can our community help you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is I found a good amount. I really hit the pavement, so to speak, in regards to trying to reach out to local businesses and local entrepreneurs to get involved because I think Reading is very much an untapped potential of artistry, and I think it's a beautiful location that, you know, if the commission and stuff wanted to do better incentives for within the greater county area and not just Reading, you know, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful place. And I think that there's a, you know, I got to meet some local filmmakers on this film. We had a couple Reading crew members on our film, and you know, I just got to hear their heart about, you know, what they think of the film industry within Reading and how they're trying to get it to grow, and how the Sundial Film Festival, which is something that you guys have on, they want it to grow and be an actual place where people from around, you know, specifically the United States and of course growing into the world can come to Reading and experience Shasta. You know, Mount Shasta's right there, Lassen's right there, the Sundial Bridge. Like, there's things to do. So I really tried my best to kind of reach out to locals and be like, hey, I'm doing this thing. I have a, you know, I had a foolproof, you know, business strategy. Like, this isn't my, this is my first rodeo, but not my first rodeo in regards to how this process goes. I very much knew the business strategy going into this and what ROI is to look like and how the distribution strategy is to look like and why our film is marketable and how we hope to sell it. And a lot of people in Reading, you know, it's not every day that they're getting their doors knocked and someone says, hey, I have a film idea. So a lot of the investors and people that we were talking to, you know, kindly shut their door on me and my production. And, you know, it's no ill will. I mean, it's one of those things where most of the business calls that a lot of people were getting, I talked to a lot of people like the Reading Chamber of Commerce and things like that. And they're like, yeah, that just doesn't seem, the creator economy hasn't really reached Reading yet. And I kind of hope that, you know, films like this can change that, where it's like, I do think that there is a creator economy in Reading, or at least there is a want for one. A lot of the locals very much want a creator economy in Reading.
Everything, we're a little slow to catch up here.
The Lockamies, Tyler Lockamies?
Oh, absolutely. Tyler and I are very, I just saw him last time I was in Reading, and he helped our production. He gave our production some, you know, crash pads for like some stunts that we were doing and some other gear that we utilized. So yeah, Tyler's been
a pretty cool movie, one with, what's her name? It was a fame, kind of a
Christina Ricci.
Yeah, Christina Ricci. Yeah, she was my childhood hero.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, And Tyler talked a lot, me and Tyler got to speak a lot about that project and how they went about making it and the things that they were doing and the things that the people they were trying to connect to. So, yeah, I mean, it was a big kind of like love letter that I drove around to the, you know, the greater Reading area that I was like, hey, I'd love to do this thing. But I guess if anything, the greatest thing that it gave me was it gave me access and, connection to the local filmmakers, mm-hmm. you know, because that was a community that I didn't know really existed. Mm-hmm. It definitely, at least from what I, you know, saw growing up, it definitely didn't exist when I was in high school, you know, and middle school, like those early ages. Like I didn't know any, you know, the only people that were, I remember the only film sets that I could get on that I knew were shooting was the Bethel Church music videos and like mm-hmm. nativity stuff, because they were the only people that I knew that had cameras. And
yeah, Tyler, you know, have you met with him now?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I got to thankfully this last time before we started filming, I got to be in, the media coalition, one of their meetings. They have Reading has, Tyler Ferris and Lockamy and a couple others.
I'm in that coalition, but I haven't gone yet.
Oh, wonderful. Well, and I highly recommend it. It was wonderful. I got to meet with a lot of, Sabrina Jurish.
That's why I joined.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and that community there, I just got to connect with them and tell them like, hey, I'm a local kid. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I don't live there full time, but I'm still incredibly connected to the community and,
right.
and want this community to grow. So like, what can I do? How can I be useful to make this thing work
this? If our listeners want to help you, where do they go? If they just want to give you a donation or something?
So thankfully we have a WeFunder campaign, and WeFunder is a, kind of open source public platform where it's kind of like, GoFundMe or mm-hmm. Seed and Spark or all these kind of it feels like a donation based place, where you can find different campaigns going and you can donate. But for us, the beautiful thing about WeFunder is that it is kind of the same, I guess, Venn diagram is those things, but instead of donation-based, it's investment-based. So what's cool about that is if you have the minimum amount that you can invest, you essentially sign a digital contract with the company that we have set up specifically for the film, and you can see potential ROI if the movie makes money. So whenever we cut a deal for our movie on the distribution side of things, whether it's playing in theaters or whether – you know, say, you know, knock on wood, it gets picked up by Netflix or whoever it is, you know, a mm-hmm. place like that. And they give us money for, you know, whatever it is. That money goes to the LLC, which is then distributed to the investors,
awesome.
Digitally. It's almost like a Venmo wallet, which is
yeah,
really cool. So,
really cool.
But yeah,
so you could send us that link and we could put it on our like Facebook
yes,
page
sure.
and stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, because it's the film. So I imagine if someone was to type in the Ratlin Bog, RATTLIN, and then WeFunder, WeFunder, I imagine it would pop up. But yeah, I'll definitely be sending you guys a link for sure as well.
Perfect. Yay. All right.
I wanted to ask about kind of if you could share with us, give us a little bit of a sneak peek at maybe one of your favorite funny jokes or scenes or something like that.
There's a lot of, there's some really great stuff there. I mean,
or a character,
oh my gosh.
Or just something.
Well, I'll give you a hilarious, I won't cuss on this, on this show. Yeah, absolutely. But this is what I'll say about it is there was a moment where our lead actress is kind of going on this really, angry rant
uh-huh.
and a part of the rant, she is cussing
uh-huh.
and she's swearing, and my mother was right there, right next to the monitor during this crazy scene where she's going off. And my mother's never seen me direct before, and I had to like cut off the actress to like give notes and be like, okay, do it this way, what about this? And having to like essentially swear in front of my mother and to change to help with these lines of dialogue, and I'm just like giving her like I'm so sorry that you're having to see me do this like this. And the jokes were like the cussing was of a crass nature because she's calling out, you know, these men specifically in a crass way.
Uh-huh.
I had to, you know, to match her and to
don't bring your mom on the set. That's the rule number one. Don't bring mom on the set.
Yeah, it was very much a bonding moment. We were laughing about it afterwards, but I'm like, I'm so sorry that you were there for that moment.
I'm so sorry you had to hear me swear.
Maxie, do you have any cameos in your films?
That's so funny you ask. I did not want one, but I had to have one. we were shooting at the McLeod Market up in McLeod.
Oh, yeah.
And we just needed more bodies, and it was one of those situations where we kind of used up all of our resources, and I was like, you know what?
So you're in there somewhere.
There's very much a split moment where you'll see my face and my body for like a second as I walk past the lead actress as she's doing some shopping in one of the scenes. So yes, I very much made it a point to try not to be a cameo, and I ended up needing to be one. So yes, but yes, I do find myself in the movie at some point. So, yeah, no, that's a great question. I do. I do end up there.
Fun. Then we can play Where's Waldo and try to look for you when we watch
Yes.
it.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
All right. So,
we have to go to break.
Is it break time?
Yeah, let's go to break real quick. And when we come back, we will wrap this up. We have our last segment. And we'll just kind of give a recap. We'll be right back.
Wonderful. Thank you.
At the reception, a glass of wine in her hand, I knew she was gonna meet her connection.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Ed Robertson inviting you to join us for the next edition of TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on KCNR. Phil Grice will join us for our annual look at vintage Thanksgiving-themed programs from the 60s and 70s by way of the sounds of lost television. If you join us for that, that's TV Confidential, Saturday morning at 11 on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked. We are still live in downtown Reading at the KCNR studio, 96.5 FM. The lines are still open, 530-605-4566 or 67. If you want to call in and talk to Maxwell, producer, filmmaker, extraordinaire from Reading.
Thank you. Too kind.
You're our second filmmaker we've interviewed, which is pretty
cool.
Pretty cool since we haven't even been on the air for a year, and
I guess we're experts ourselves already.
Totally.
Oh, I love it. No, it's fantastic. No, I mean, it's really, I guess to give you guys flowers, like, it's really cool that you guys have a platform and want to share about this and, you know, getting the message that you guys wanted to talk was really, really kind. Cause I mean, I think that's such a hard part of this thing is getting the word out and talking to people about the thing. So, really, really thankful. For you guys and your kindness and stuff like that. So to give you guys flowers before we wrap everything up.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you so much.
We always like flowers.
Do you have a website?
I do. So for myself, I share one, like I mentioned before, I work very closely with, a fellow Reading, filmmaker named Jordan Moran, who went to Foothill High School. Mm-hmm. And we share a website as we do most of our work together. Mm-hmm. We didn't work on the feature film together, sadly, but we do mostly do work, and it's literally www.jordanandmaxwell.com. We got that domain and it works. And it's all of our work. It's a lot of our commercial work, our narrative work, our fashion work, all the different things that we've done.
On our Facebook page too. So our listeners pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Sweet. Thank you.
All right. I've got a question for you. This is just a fun one.
So, please. Wonderful.
Since you're all into the arts and film, what is your guilty pleasure movie? Like the one you love, but you're like embarrassed to admit it, but you're going to tell everyone right now.
Oh, yes. I think, oh my gosh, I am such a sucker for I don't know if you've ever seen Surf's Up,
yeah.
Which is the Penguin mockumentary animated film.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. I think it's a masterpiece. it's so funny. I don't know if you both are familiar with Letterboxd, which is like a film rating site. It's kind of like, Yelp for movies, I guess. And I love keeping track of different things. And my top four are my like unhinged list, where it's movies that I genuinely do very much love and admire. But I'm also being, you know, silly with my profile. And one of them is Surf's Up, and people like really come after me for it. And I defend it with my life. I genuinely think it's incredible and so fun.
It's a good one. I'll have to go back and watch that one again. I haven't watched it in years. I watched it with my kids years ago, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hilarious because it's like, why, who, I just want to know the person who went into a room full of people who have the power to make movies happen and pitched them a fake documentary about animated penguins who surf, and they greenlit it, and we're like, this is it.
Like Sharknado or something.
Yes, and it works, and I'm like, how did they land this ship? So, No,
what about you, Jess? What's yours?
Oh, yeah, my favorite movie?
Yeah, like your guilty pleasure movie. Like a
pleasure movie, okay.
The one you watch over and over again.
Okay, there's a bunch of them that I watch over and over. Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, nice.
That was my favorite for a long, long time. I'll still watch it if it's on TV. Titanic.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Recently, was the best movie that I've seen, the last best movie I saw was The Whale.
Oh.
I cried in the theater so hard at the end of that movie. I was like, holy, can't say the word. But that was like the most, like, you would never watch, you only watch it one time, but you leave like, holy cow, this movie just changed my brain. So there's that one, and
that
then
is the beauty of film.
What else? There's got to be other ones. Currently my favorite TV show is Yellowstone.
Nice.
I think the writer's good, except for now he's too spread thin, so
I'm a big Bridgerton fan.
Oh, me too, Bridgerton. And
which is why my repeat movie is Sense and Sensibility. I can watch that over and over and over.
Wow.
I love those period pieces that are the love stories long ago.
That's a good one.
Never get old.
What
I was gonna say
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say Pride and Prejudice made a huge comeback again. That movie, I feel like, circulates like the public domain ever so often, and people were like, oh, yeah, this is incredible.
Yeah, timeless one.
Mm-hmm,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I grew up in Buffy the Vampire Slayer era.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably why Interview with a Vampire was my favorite back then.
Also works. Yeah,
well, who's your favorite director?
Oh, that's a great question. I think it changes. Like, there's different people who satisfy different things that I really enjoy. like, for example, I really enjoy this director named Spike Jonze, who did, like, Her and Being John Malkovich, an adaptation, purely because he gets to kind of do whatever he wants creatively. He's done so many really interesting dance videos and commercials.
That was a weird one.
It's, like, it's great, and he just, like, gets this kind of freedom to do that. But I also really love John Cassavetes, who's he passed away a while ago, and his wife, Jenna Rollins, who's a really beloved actress. She just passed away recently, and they did a whole retrospective on her down here. But he made films with his wife. His wife was the lead actress in most of his films, and they were stunning pieces of work that he was doing back in, like, the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I specifically love him because of his fire for film. He was very,
of his? Can you think of one right now?
Yeah. A Woman Under the Influence is, like, the main one that he got nominated for writing, maybe directing, and then Jenna got nominated for lead actress. It's stunning. But my personal favorite that they did together was Opening Night, about an aging actress who is trying to get to the opening night of this kind of big off-Broadway play.
I love when other people recommend
movies. I'm trying to remember who my favorite filmmaker would be. Probably Martin Scorsese, but I'm trying to remember the name of the film that he did that was my favorite that I keep watching over and over, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. It was with The Departed.
Oh, yes. I mean, come on. Yeah, absolutely.
That movie was amazing. Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah, that was those.
And The Wolf of Wall Street.
Kids love that one. Yeah. My boys love that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about male peacocking. Huh?
Yeah.
film perfectly, answers the question of just, like, you know, when men are left to their devices, how do they behave and stuff like that.
They're terrible. Yes.
Yeah.
We can say that because we're an all-female show. So
we don't hate men, though.
Well, no, we don't. We don't hate men. We just think that they're not as superior as
Shay.
Just kidding.
It reminds me of that book my son's reading right now. When they're on the island, Shay, it's an English book. It says the boys are on the island and they kill each other and they think there's a monster after them, and it's really not the monster.
You're talking about freshman.
The Lord of the Flies.
I was just helping my son with an assignment with it, and they had to, he had to pick a psychological theory to apply to the book.
Oh, that's great.
And how it was, one he picked was, Freud, Maslow's hierarchy. Of needs and all that. But anyways, it reminded me of that whole ego thing, even with a group of boys.
That was a huge inspiration for a lot of Ratman Bog. We even at one point tried to find, like, a really cool graphic t-shirt that had a Lord of the Flies imagery on it that one of the characters was to wear, but nothing ever looked right. It looked too forced, almost, as far as an outfit goes. But we very much tried to sneak in Lord of the Flies somewhere, because that was a huge inspiration for this thing. So that's really cool that you brought that up.
Why it's part of the canon of literature for high school, in case anybody's
absolutely
wondering. Yeah. So speaking of high school, and because we're right here at the end, and you're a local boy, so and went to our local schools, who inspired you the most to be where you are right now? Besides your parents. We already know your parents are wonderful.
Darn. I was really going to cop out for a second and say them. Because there is so much truth to it. But I don't know. In my local community, I don't know. I mean, I really like, as much, I'll say this. I guess this is kind of a cheat answer, but I think this is truthful. You know, I was very privileged and blessed to have, a family with two parents, and, yes, it was rough at times and things struggled, but, I really admired kind of, like, the friends that I grew up with that this film is kind of based off of. Like, it's one of those, the tragedies of the film is the fact that these men don't get a chance to learn because, you know, you can only say and do so much within an hour and a half of runtime or something like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I based a lot of this film off these boys now turned men that I grew up with. And the fact that I still hold this kind of like space with them in our adult mm-hmm. years and seeing how they've changed yeah. and grown and apologized. And they come from, you know, pretty broken places and, you know, parents are divorced or, you know, yeah. widowed or whatever the situation may be, of course. And to see them still hold their heads high and do good work and become better men and become better partners to their significant others.
We just have a few seconds and our show is over. Seconds. We need to say goodbye.
We're going to say goodbye and we will put we'll put all your stuff on our Facebook page, Max.
Mm-hmm. No, wonderful. Thank you so much. I'll send it over to you guys.
Yeah.
No, thank you so much.
Max. Have a good
of
night.
Of course, such an honor. Have
see
a good night.
Thank
you so much.
See you next week on Shasta Unmasked.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.